Well, just going back over the past week, obviously there's lots of things happening with trade negotiations with Congress now in recess, but President Trump on his golf course in Scotland and paying court to a lot of the people who are paying homage to him, and amongst those the head of the European Union, who appears to have cut a trade deal, a pretty poor one, where the EU gets hit with 15% tariffs from early August. That's lower than where it was set going back to early April. But they've also got to invest a vast amount of money into US businesses as well. Not a particularly good deal from the perspective of the EU, but this is the way things are running. Amongst all that, we've got the data out of the US, which suggests, if anything, the US economy has just lifted a little through the late part of the second quarter. And so some of the data we had last week, there wasn't much of it, but we had things like existing home sales and new home sales. They went in different directions the month of June. Existing home sales were down 2.7% month on month after being down 1% the month before. But new home sales actually lifted by 4.3% for the month of June. We also had the old style manufacturing and services style PMIs. Manufacturing PMI, the old style one, did actually come back, went down to 49.5 from 52.9 the month before. But the services sector PMI went up from 52.9 to 55.2. So that's actually a pretty strong reading through the biggest part of the economy. And we also had the usual initial jobless claims coming out the most recent week. And they still point to a pretty tight labour market. They were expected to be around 227,000. They came in at 217,000, down from 221,000. You know, that's consistent with pretty strong growth still running through the US labour market. And in amongst all that, you know, we had one or two commentaries coming through from the Fed, and which imply that at the meeting this week, they're still more likely to hold. Their meeting comes up on Wednesday this week, going into Thursday morning our time, and the Fed funds rate currently at 4.5%. It's been on hold for a couple of meetings and looks as if it's going to stay on hold for the time being. And that's mainly because, you know, there's signs that inflation's just getting stuck in the United States and above the Fed's target. There's a lot of data around and before and just after the Fed meeting, and you know, some of it fairly important pieces of information. The one piece we'll get on Wednesday during the course of the meeting is the preliminary Q2 GDP reading out of the United States. This one's probably bounced, but for a very specific reason. But you know, the market's expecting that we'll get 2.4% annualized growth in Q2. That compares with minus 0.5% in Q1. That sounds like a very big acceleration in growth. It's not really. It's all to do with the way in which imports have moved. If you went back to Q1, there was a lot of bringing forward of imports into the United States ahead of the early April big announcement by President Trump on tariffs. You know, they wanted to get imports in where they could at a cheaper rate. And there was some give back on that, obviously, in Q2. So this is all about the trade account. It's the trade account which detracted from growth substantially in Q1, gives a substantial boost to growth in Q2, but coming entirely from a fall away in imports. The key parts of demand inside the US economy, if anything, were running a little bit softer in the quarter, and that includes the key part that's been holding growth up in the United States, which has been consumer spending. And that one's strange through the course of the quarter, because we've got some evidence it was very weak running through April into May. In June, there was quite a lift. So it's interesting that there's just been a little bit of a lift in the most recent part of the data. But overall, we'll see consumer spending making a lesser contribution to growth when we get that figure out on Wednesday relative to what it did in Q1. At the end of the week, the focus again turns to things like monthly inflation. We get the June core personal consumption expenditure deflator. This will be showing a similar picture to the CPI, and that is that inflation not only is not falling anymore, it's probably edging up. And so the monthly core personal consumption expenditure deflator reading for the month of June is expected to lift by 0.3%. That's after a 0.2% lift the month before, and that could actually lift the annual rate a little bit from 2.7% perhaps to 2.8%. And right at the end of the week, we get the latest labour force data or average non-farm payrolls coming out in the US. And these are for the month of July. And here we're likely to see some signs that wages are still running pretty strongly. Wages grew by, average hourly earnings grew by 0.2% last month, and the annual rate of change is 3.7%. That may have accelerated a little bit to 0.3% and around about still 3.7%, 3.8% year on year, well above the inflation rate. And part of the reason for this is that labour conditions are being made tighter by expelling some of the labour force. So, what we saw through July with the raids on various businesses that caused all sorts of problems, getting rid of illegal workers, well, that's making labour tighter in supply in the United States. And so that's a pressure point. Non-farm payrolls, they're expected to lift in July, 108,000 compared with 147,000, still pretty strong. And we might get a slight lift in the unemployment rate from 4.1 to 4.2, remembering that last month we came down from 4.2 to 4.1, so it's really going sideways at a fairly strong rate there. Right at the end of the week too, we'll get the ISM manufacturing PMI. Now, this is doing something a little bit different from the old style PMI. It was at 49 for the month of June, expects to lift perhaps to 49.5. And right at the end of the week, we'll get the latest or the final figures for July Michigan consumer sentiment, where the preliminary result showed that there was a lift to 61.8 from 60.7. If anything, it's going to hold that, might even do a little bit better than that when we see that figure later this week. In China last week, there's nothing of note, really. The People's Bank of China came and went, and they left their interest rate setting at 3.5%, which is still tight, tighter than the Chinese economy needs. And this week in China, we'll be getting things like the manufacturing PMI, non-manufacturing PMI, and the CAKES inversions of those. They're expected to go sideways or a little bit lower. There's little reason why the Chinese economy is picking up. To the extent that the Chinese authorities are making any attempt to boost spending, it's again looks to be on big projects like big new dam they're planning, which is temporarily pretty good news for some commodity prices. Is not the way to get consumer spending really running, which is what the Chinese need to offset the headwinds that are coming from difficulties on the trade account. But those manufacturing, non-manufacturing PMIs, the official ones are out on Thursday. The manufacturing PMI probably going sideways at 49.7, and the non-manufacturing PMI maybe down a little to 50.3 from 50.5. And similar changes running through the CAKES inversions of those when they come out on Friday. Moving to Australia last week, it was largely the RBA minutes and also a speech by the RBA governor. And what these were doing was hosing down market expectations of how much and how quickly interest rates can come down. Now, they started this process earlier in July, obviously at the last meeting. But the RBA governor's speech in particular made it pretty plain that they're going to be going cautiously and slowly cutting rates, and they are very dependent on watching where inflation's coming in, because they can see in the monthly data that the inflation rate, whilst it's coming down, it's not coming down quite as fast as they anticipated in their forecasts going back to May. And so they're watching that with some care. They can still see a pretty tight labour market too. So whilst that's good in some senses, it is meaning that it's slower progress running through getting inflation down. They really want to see the Q2 CPI and underlying inflation rate, because those ones will have a lot more detail in them than the monthly figures. The monthly figures only have about 60% of the coverage of the quarterly CPI at this point. And so, and a lot of the 40% that's missing are the bits that have been inflating. So it'll be interesting to see where the Q2 CPI comes in. That comes out this week. And the expectation when that comes out on Wednesday is that it will be up 0.8%. That'll be 2.1% year on year, down from 2.4%. Around that level is right on the cusp of whether the Reserve Bank does or does not cut when it gets to the August meeting. Q2 trim mean. The market expectation on that is that it will be at 0.7%, same as the quarter before. That means that the 2.9% year-on-year rate will come down, but not a lot. It might just edge towards 2.5%. It needs to be at 2.5%, this reading, if the Reserve Bank is going to cut with some confidence. And we'll also get the monthly June CPI. That's almost irrelevant in this because it's the quarterly one, which is important. So watching those figures on Wednesday, they're going to be critical, determining whether the RBA cuts in August. My own feeling is they probably will. But beyond that, we'll be waiting quite a time before if there's another cut. And it's going to be dependent on the quarterly CPI again. So you're going all the way out to November before you get any change again. Moving to Thursday, we get June home building approvals, June retail sales. This will give us some feeling for how demand's going in the economy. Home building approvals have been picking up of late. In May, they were up by 3.2%, 8% year on year, expecting another gain of 1.7% month on month, which will keep the annual change a bit above 8%. June retail sales, they were up 0.2% going back to May. They're expected to lift around 0.4% for the month of June. And in that figure, we'll also get Q2 real retail sales, which were flat going back to Q1, but probably lifted slightly for Q2. So all of that suggests that the economy is finding its feet a little, and it's not growing strongly, but it's doing it with a still tight labour market, and with the CPI still showing signs of not coming down quite as much as the Reserve Bank expected. We'll also get things like export prices for Q2 and import prices. They'll be out later this week, but they won't be the important figures. Moving to Europe. And last week, we had not a lot of data, but much of it was a little bit better. So we had preliminary consumer confidence. That improved to -14.7 from -15.3. Consumer confidence, I've yet to see this over the last few years go above zero. So there's always more pessimists and optimists in the consumer confidence survey in Europe. So when you get a lesser minus, it's a backhanded positive. The manufacturing PMIs and services sector PMIs, these lifted slightly for the most recent month. So the preliminary manufacturing PMI for July up to 49.8 from 49.5, and that was a bit better than expected. So too was the services sector PMI. That lifted to 51.2 from 50.5. That was quite a bit bigger improvement than the market was looking for. So there's some evidence that the European economy is finding some stability as well. We also had the July ECB meeting. They've done their rate cutting. They're now on hold. So they left their deposit rate at 2%. They've had the ability to bring that down a long way because inflation has been down. And speaking about that, we get the preliminary July CPI readings out of Europe later this week. And the preliminary headline CPI may come down slightly to 1.9% from 2, and the core CPI just getting stuck at 2.3%. So when you look at that, it's probably best to look at the core CPI, which is a true reflection of where or truer reflection of where inflation is running, you've actually got a deposit rate which is now below the core inflation rate. So that's a pretty expansionary interest rate setting. And it's one reason why you can't go any further as far as ECB is concerned whilst you've got inflation just stuck at these levels. We also get next week their preliminary Q2 GDP read. Going back to Q1, they had a much stronger than expected Q1 GDP read at 0.6%. That lifted annual growth in Europe to 1.5%. If anything, that's flattened off perhaps in Q2. So they're looking for a flat result, 0.0% quarter on quarter. That would bring the annual growth rate back to 1.2 from 1.5. But looking at this week, we've got the US sort of growing against the odds. There's a problem with that because it's keeping inflation high. That means that the Fed is going to be like a sawtooth to the president when they have their meeting this week, because they're more likely to stay on hold. So we can expect obviously some commentary from the president after that. And we've got this run of strange tariff deals which are being cut on a golf course in Scotland at the moment. But when push comes to shove, the effective tariff rate in the United States is still a long way up from where it was going back before April, and is running at the highest level in 80 years, even though it's not as desperately high as was foretold in the Liberation Day chart that we saw going back to the beginning of April. So interesting situation where we've got some US risk assets which in some cases are extraordinarily highly priced, but still running, and to see how much longer that can be sustained. But at the same time, we've also got this underlying pressure which is keeping bond yields relatively high as well.